He is risen. Here's some surprising and ironic pictures taken from real news. I'll give the credit to Doug Rempel. He's the one who passed them on to me, and I said that if I ever used them in a sermon, I would give him the credit for them. So I just want to show you a few of them, the seven of these photos from real life. No worries as this boat is sinking. And then Noah's Ark theme park destroyed in a flood. If you didn't see that, there's a car on its side, right behind the sign. Sometimes pictures are worth a thousand words, aren't they? In this case, the photos communicated some humorous irony. They can also communicate some surprise. Some of us, if we were in that picture, might have been wondering, wow, what just happened here? Imagine if you were there. Is that what you'd be thinking? What just happened here? Sometimes it's hard to make sense of what's going around us or in us or through us. And I think that's something akin to what those disciples, especially Peter, who ran to the tomb, was thinking about when he heard the news that Jesus had risen. I want to read to you something from one of the 20th century's best Christian thinkers, C.S. Lewis. He writes this. He says, "We come to the strangest story of all, the story of the resurrection. It is a very necessary thing to get the story clear." He says this, "I heard a man say the importance of the resurrection is that it gives evidence of survival, evidence that the human personality survives death. On that view, what happened to Christ would be what had always happened to all people, the difference being that in Christ's case, we were privileged to see it happen." Well, this is certainly not what the earliest Christian writers thought. According to today's scripture passage, something perfectly new in the history of the universe has happened. Christ has defeated death. The door which had always been locked had for the very first time been forced open. This is something quite different from mere ghost survival. C.S. Lewis says, "I don't mean that they didn't believe in ghost survival. On the contrary, they believed it so firmly that on more than one occasion, Christ had to assure them that he was not a ghost, not an apparition, not a spirit. The point is that while believing in survival, they yet regarded the resurrection as something totally different and new." The resurrection narratives are not a picture of survival after death. They record how a totally new mode of being has arisen in the universe. Something new had happened and appeared in the universe, as new as the first coming of organic life. This man, after death, does not get divided into ghost on one side and corpse in another. A new mode of being has arisen. That is the story. And so the question is, what are we going to make of all that? And the question, I suppose, is whether any hypothesis covers the facts so well as the Christian hypothesis. This hypothesis is that God has come down into the created universe, down to manhood and up again, pulling it up with him, C.S. Lewis writes. Now, the alternative hypothesis is not legend, nor exaggeration, nor the apparitions of a ghost. It is either lunacy or lies. Unless one can take the second alternative, lunacy or lies, and I can't, one turns to the Christian view. And so the question is, what are we going to make of Christ? There is no question of what we can make of him. It is entirely a question of what he intends to make of us. We must either accept or reject this story that we've just read this morning. The things Jesus says are very different from what any other teacher has said. Others say this is the truth about the universe. Others say this is the way you ought to go. But Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Jesus says, "No person can reach absolute reality except through me." He also says, "Try to retain your own life and you will be inevitably ruined." Give yourself away, Jesus says, and you will be saved. Jesus says, if you are ashamed of me, if when you hear this call you turn the other way, I also will look the other way when I come again as God without any disguise. If anything, whatever is keeping you from God and from me, whatever it is, throw it away, Jesus says. If it is your eye, pull it out. If it is your hand, cut it off. If it is something that you put yourself first, you will be the last. Come to me, everyone who is carrying a heavy load, he says, and I will set that straight. Your sins, all of them, are wiped out, Jesus says. I can do that. I am rebirth, Jesus says. I am life. Eat me. Drink me. I am your food. I am your sustenance. Jesus says, do not be afraid. I have overcome the whole universe. And that is the issue, my brothers and sisters. Pastor of this century, Frederick Buechner, says, what I believe happened and what in faith and with great joy I proclaim is that Jesus somehow got up with life again and the glory upon him. And I speak very plainly here, very unfancifully. He just got up. He said, don't be afraid, rich woman, poor child, sick man, dying, woman who cannot believe, scared, sick man, lost one, whoever you are, young woman with your life ahead of you, don't be afraid, Jesus says. He said, feed my sheep. Which is why, like the chief priests and the Pharisees, we try to make the tomb as secure as we can. Because this is what he always says, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And this is what we would make ourselves secure from, knowing that the terrible needs of the lambs are in our own abundance, knowing our own terrible needs. And Jesus finally said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age, even unto the end of the world. Anxiety and fear are what we know best in this fantastic century of ours, whether it's the gassing in Syria, or that big giant bomb that was just dropped in Afghanistan, or just the bombings in the churches in Egypt last week. Wars and rumors of wars, from civilization itself to what seemed the most unalterable values of the past. Everything is threatened or already in ruins in our minds. We have heard so much tragic news that when the news is good, we actually can't hear it. But the proclamation of Easter Day is that all is actually well. And as a Christ follower, I say this not with the easy optimism of one who has never known a time when all was not well, but as one who has faced the cross. We all carry our own. I face the cross in all its obscenity as well as in all its glory. And I, like you, know one way or another what it's like to live separated from God. In the end, though, it is His will, not ours. His will is done. Love is the victor. Death is not the end. The end is life. His life and our lives through Him and in Him. Existence has greater depths of beauty and mystery and benediction than the wildest visionary has ever dared to dream. Christ our Lord has risen. He is risen. I'm going to call the worship team to close us with one last song. And as they come, let me bless us as we prepare to depart in peace. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make us complete in everything good, so that we may do God's will through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Thanks be to God. Amen.